The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You look at these innocent children, and you see the future, and you think, if they can't have the same opportunities we did, something's wrong here.
Coming up, Dr. Ben Carson and his wife Candy suggest using common sense to revive the American dream.
I think a lot of the people who have become dependent would relish having an opportunity to move up, because this is America, and the American dream should be alive for everyone here.
Yes.
We're glad you're here. Thank all of you for being with us, and thank you for giving us this opportunity. Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robison. My wife Betty and I welcome Dr. Ben Carson and his wife Candy. Now, they have written a book. This is the second book they've written, and this one is called One Nation, What We Can All Do to Save America's Future. And that's not some just wishful thinking. But it's a very passionate desire of his heart and Candy's heart that we not lose the blessed freedom that has been purchased at a great price, and that's going to be protected and preserved with people who are willing to pay whatever price is necessary. And the necessary price is to get informed and inspired enough to stand up and make wise decisions and get the best people in office who will do the right things, which he talks about in this book very clearly. I want you to welcome Dr. Ben Carson and his wife Candy to Life Today. We're glad to have you. Candy, what do you think about this guy at this ripe old age of retirement now? He's retired, and now he's just sitting around the house.
You know, we thought retirement was going to be something entirely different. Boy, we had surprise, weren't we?
Why do you think you're on this journey? Because Ben is speaking, and I have said, and I really believe this, he's a man sent from God. I believe he's an answer to prayer, probably your prayers, and didn't know it was going to be quite that way, but I believe he is an answer to prayer, and he's speaking with love and kindness and truth, and it's flowing like a river of life. Mm-hmm. And are you shocked about what's happening?
Yeah.
Do you think it was because of a real legitimate concern for the nation and the well-being of people?
Of course, but when I signed on, I didn't sign on for this, but the thing of it is God has something special for each of us in this life, and we never know where we're going to go. I mean, when we went to Australia, that was a big deal. I mean, to go to the other side of the world, you know, and to be in, not really a third world country, but still, and to have our first baby there. I mean, that was really strange, but it was wonderful. It worked out very well, and that's what spurred him into his career to be the first, youngest pediatric neurosurgeon ever at Hopkins. But one of the things that got us into this book, and he's been a student of civil liberties and our nation and our history for years and years and years. But when things started going a different way for our nation, it looked like we weren't going to have the same opportunities for our children and for our grandchildren and theirs. It just seems so wrong. And then we're recently grandparents. Our oldest is, she's 2 1/4 now. Her name is Tesora, which is Italian for treasure, and she is a little treasure. And the youngest one is just now 6 months. You look at these innocent children, and you see the future, and you think, if they can't have the same opportunities we did, something's wrong here. It's not fair. And you've got to do something. I mean, if it's in your power to do it, you do it. So that was my inspiration for it. He probably has, some others. But I tell you, for me, seeing those little babies, we can't do this to them. It's just not fair.
Betty, you've had this burden. I've told everybody that my deep concern, which I have a broken heart, not only for people who suffer all over the world, but I have a broken heart for America, because I think America's broken. I think our national direction is disastrous, and it doesn't need to be. It can be quickly corrected. But, Betty, I've told people, I think you prayed me into this feeling of brokenness. What do you feel when you listen to
Candy? I agree with Candy as a wife and a mother and now grandmother, both of us. You know, I feel that responsibility to make it better for the generations to come. I feel like we've allowed it to get to this place, this mess, because maybe we've not done what we should have and stood up and be strong and put on that armor that God gave us for a purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, why do you need armor if it's not for a purpose? You're going to be in a fight, a battle for God's truth to stand. And that's where our nation began. Mm-hmm. And we've lost our way.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart to think of that and what our grandchildren are going to have to face and what they're going to have the responsibility to try to fix that we've made a mess of.
Yeah. But, it's not just us, though. I mean, we as a people, a lot of us don't do our due diligence when it comes to re-elections. We don't look at the congressional and senatorial voting records to know who's really representing us, because a lot of times they're voting according to the lobbyists that got them reelected as opposed to their constituents. But the thing of it is, our media is also a culprit in this, our mass media, mainstream media, because they're not putting the news as it happens out there. They pick and choose the stories. And a lot of our people just don't know. They're just not aware of what's going on. And we've got to wake them up. So that's the reason why the book was written, to wake people up, to give them steps, you know, if you want to get involved, and we really should get involved, especially if you care about your children and your grandchildren, because it is totally not fair for them not to have the same, at least as many opportunities that we had growing up.
Ben, what do you want people to hear right now that you think in, you know, our limited time frame on a television program like this, but you've got the floor. You're not going to be attacked and challenged, because you're going to be welcome, because we are hurting for the suffering and for the people that are being trampled down. We're watching a government overpower the people, destroy business and opportunity with excessive regulation,
absolutely,
a tax system that makes no sense to anybody who understands 2 + 2. We've got people running the economic system who can't manage anything well. And what do we do? What do you say to people that you want them to hear? I know it's in the book, but in the few minutes, what do you want people to hear right now?
Well, the main thing I want people to hear is wake up. Don't continue along the same course of go along to get along. Become proactive. You know, in the pre-revolutionary days, you know, patriots were not happy with King George III. The loyalists were okay with them, but what did they start doing? They started having town meetings, getting together, talking about what kind of nation they wanted to have, what were they willing to do to get that kind of a nation to pass on to their children and their grandchildren. Many of the loyalists became convinced. And, it was encouraging each other that gave a bunch of ragtag militiamen the ability to defeat the most powerful army on earth. And we've got to do the same thing. We've got to go out and start talking to our friends, our neighbors, our extended family, our work associates, about what kind of nation do you want to have? You see, there is a faction that doesn't want us to talk. You know, you read Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals, never have a conversation with your adversary, because that humanizes them, and your job is to demonize them. And that's why you see that all over. This person is this and this, and calling them names, but never actually discussing the actual topic. It's a tactic that we must learn to identify, and when you see it, and this is in the book, it says look for those things, point them out to other people, so that we all become aware of those tactics that are used for manipulation purposes. But the key thing is being proactive. By being proactive, we circumvent the biased media, and they lose their control over all of our minds. Go out and talk to that 80-year-old uncle that you know has not voted for 20 years and convince him about what's going on. And if he's an invalid, get him an absentee ballot. If he's having trouble seeing, help him fill it out. You know, we have to all get involved. We have to bring others along, because the vast majority of people in this country actually have common sense. They actually think logically. All we have to do is rise up again and be the people who are counted. It's up to us to do it.
You have a lot of strong feelings about what's called political correctness. It's one of the major chapters in here. You don't seem to be real high on political correctness.
Me either.
I am. Me either. I hate political correctness because, and that's why I absolutely refuse to come under subjugation to that. I will continue to say stuff like Nazi if I want to. I will say anything that I want to. Because these silly people, and that's what they are, silly people, you know, they will grab a word or a phrase and they will try to make a big deal out of that to try to keep people from seeing what you're really talking about. Right. They're making a mistake because they are assuming that people are stupid and that people can be manipulated that way. Now, some are, but the majority of people are not that stupid, and this is where they're making their mistake.
Don't you think that they have taught people today to be dependent upon the government, and they've kept them with a sense of entitlement that has actually dehumanized them and destroyed their incentive?
Absolutely. You know, when you look at someone and you pat them on the head, there, you poor little thing. You can't take care of yourself. So I'm going to take care of your food with food stamps and your housing subsidy and give you free health care and whatever you need, because those mean people over there, they, you know, if it weren't for them, you'd have all this stuff anyway. You know, that is not helping anybody. All that is doing is creating dependency. What we need to be doing is using our intellect and our resources to move people up. You know, there's a system of microeconomics for which Muhammad Yunus won the Nobel Prize, which has lifted millions of people in Pakistan and India out of poverty. We need to adapt those, and actually I've talked to a number of people around the country. We're working on that because this is what we, the Christian community, conservatives, people with common sense, need to offer, because I think a lot of the people who have become dependent would relish having an opportunity to move up, because this is America, and the American dream should be alive for everyone here.
Yes. Candy, what do you think about this position that he just expressed? You help him write all this in the book? Did you kind of go along with what he said?
Of course. No, I mean, I did most of the research. That's what I usually do, but also I do some of the writing. And, common sense is common sense. I mean, if it makes sense, you do it, you know? And it's just like I was saying, with this deficit that we have, the debt, it's just ridiculous. If we don't watch out, we become a third world nation overnight. The only reason why we can sustain it, I think, did it come out in the other program? Is because we're the base of the world monetary currency.
Yeah.
If they take that away from us, and there have been challenges for that, if they take that away from us, everything that anybody and everybody has worked for in this country, down the drain.
You have a great concern for education, and what's your hope there? What do you think needs to happen?
Well, I don't know if you're aware that we have a scholars recognition program.
Right,
and Carson Scholars.
Let's put that website up. If you want to see the website, what is it, Doc, if they want to go to learn it?
CarsonScholars.org.
All right, and if you want to support that, which would be wonderful, there it is, and it'll be on our website where you can find it. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, with the scholars, we identify the academic role models as early as age 9 and grade 4 before they go down an irrevocable path, and they become academic role models for their peers. So there's a ripple effect. They not only get a scholarship, which is invested on their behalf until they're matriculated at a four-year accredited institution, but they get a medal, they get to go to a wonderful banquet, there's local press, and they can win multiple times. Then we also have...
And they also have to demonstrate significant humanitarian qualities. If they're just smart, but they don't care about anybody else, they can't win. Because we need leaders who are smart and care about other people.
Compassionate.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's getting behind our future leaders that way. And then we also have reading rooms, which we put into mostly Title I schools, but a lot of these kids come from homes with no books and schools with no libraries. And, you know, these are the ones that drop out because, you know, our dropout rate has been 30% for a number of years. It's supposed to be down to 20, but, you know, how they mess with figures anyway. With that many kids dropping out of school, you know, that they're a drag on society. and that's our future. That's our future. So we have to try to truncate that as early down the road as we can. So putting in these reading rooms, they're wonderful places that no kid would want to pass up. They're decorated whimsically, and of course there's books everywhere, and they're displayed from the front, so it draws the kids in.
Here I find myself wanting to go. Here's the thing that is so important, what she's talking about, and Ben, this is what I see. You're entrepreneurs, she's an entrepreneur with you. You've taken this ability that God gave you to say, let's find creative ways to help people. Every entrepreneur in the country, this 1%, 5%, 10%, they need to start thinking creatively and quit handing it off with their big taxes to the federal government
exactly.
to misuse it and never apply it properly.
Right.
Get charter schools turned loose. Help the teachers that are in school, in the NEA, and all the different organizations to really get to do what you went there to do.
Absolutely.
To be effective. And this can happen. I mean, just listening to you excites people. And this entrepreneurial spirit, this is what I hear you talking about.
Right.
If you'll turn the American people loose,
right.
if you will turn the stewards of planet Earth that God put here to oversee it, not Pharaoh.
Exactly.
Pharaoh's never worked, never will work. He ain't working today.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what you call it. The point is that we can literally reclaim freedom and
right.
rebuild this nation.
We are our brother's keeper. The government is not our brother's keeper.
Right.
We are.
Mm-hmm. And we're out there among them. We develop relationships. They will feel an obligation to do something
mm-hmm.
when you help them
yep.
because they want your investment to be worthwhile. It's the way it's supposed to work, and it always has worked that way. And we, the American people, have always taken care of each other. And this is the last place on earth where we should have class warfare. And we need to be figuring
Absolutely.
Out how we can make that apparent. We were at a program not long ago where they would go out in the street and they would find people who were in desperate straits, bring them in, a 13-week program, clean them up, teach them how to do things so that they could hold a job, help them find a job. 70% of those people were off of public assistance. One young lady was 3 months away from getting her PhD. She had been on the street homeless on drugs, you know.
Yeah, and
people helping people.
Yeah, this is critical. Because, see, I believe we're in desperate straits. We're in a deep ditch. But I have nothing but hope. I mean, I've got a Savior who looked down over Jerusalem that he knew would be leveled. Mm-hmm. But he said, come to the shelter and shadow like chicks to the wings of the hen.
Absolutely.
And I believe that that shelter is secure. I believe that shepherd knows where he's going. I believe that we can turn this nation. I want to ask you, mm-hmm. can we correct our course and get back on stable ground and security and see a future and bring this out-of-control government under control? Could
Absolutely.
That happen in fairly short order?
I think if we reform the tax system, take the heavy foot of the government off the neck of business and industry, and bring back our Judeo-Christian values, United States will be there at no time.
I agree 100%. And here's the thing you've got to hear. Because the economic situation is dire, but there is no substitute for fathers and dads being dad and a husband.
Amen.
There is no substitute for good families. And a new definition of marriage is not going to correct the dilemma. We are going to have to get back. Listen, you cannot separate the social responsibilities of loving one another and true justice, biblical justice. You can't scrap it just focusing on the economy. All of them go together. They're inseparable. That's why Jay Richards and I wrote the book, Indivisible. You can't separate them. So let's get back on solid ground. That's what Ben Carson is helping us do. Would you give another thanks to Ben and Candy for what they're doing to lift this nation out of the pit of defeat? Ben, I love you. Candy, I love you. We're in step together.
Absolutely.
Our hearts are bound together in love, and we believe we are our brother's keeper. We don't see that as something burdensome, but a joy.
Praise
and
Lord.
Our viewers, Betty, this is a fact. All over the world, if you watch Life Today, you know you're going to get to share life today. It's not just looking in to hear somebody like Ben and Candy, but it's looking through the eyes of Jesus to see if you can touch someone and alleviate their pain and let them know they're not unnoticed. You are going to be moved by what you see. And you're going to be moved to very positive action. Watch closely. Well, you know, it's hard to believe, but this is a, it's a mini subdivision is what it is. It's this kind of area where children need shoes. They're subject to diseases. We've found that hookworms are major destroyers of children because they get into their skin and then ultimately into their intestines and destroy their life horribly. Slow, painful death. And love makes the difference, but it's not love discussed or love even declared. It's love demonstrated. It's somebody who says, I won't just talk about love, even God's love, I'm going to demonstrate it.
We're busy handing out shoes here. These are life shoes that we're putting on precious little lives. It's an exciting day. You can hear the noise in the background. The kids just getting their shoes at the different points here. And you don't understand what these children go through, how bashed up their little feet get. There's kids just cutting their feet open, getting infection in them. There's no clinic here where they can go and get some sutures put in to cut on their feet. But this little girl doesn't have to worry about it anymore because she's got a pair of life shoes. Thank you for making that possible. Thank you for giving her these precious little shoes that are going to protect her feet and improve her life.
And can I just tell you, it's a joy to reach out to these children and to be able to share something with them because you help us. And from the very bottom of our hearts, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Do all you can to help us right now touch these children and share God's love. You know, Betty and I spent 25 years doing citywide crusades and coliseums and stadiums. And then we spent the next 25 years going to nearly 50 countries and putting God's arms of love around overlooked children. Hold up that little Christmas ornament, that little shoe, and then here I have all four of the little Christmas shoes we've been offering the last several years. To put on precious little feet because Jesus loves the children of the world. And when Betty and I got a burden for the missions of the world and the third world overlooked children, we wondered if anybody would notice with us. We wondered if anyone would care. We've been amazed and inspired by the way you, the viewers of Life Today, have responded. You've overwhelmed people all over the world with God's love. You're really a demonstration of what happens when we notice and then we extend the hands of God and express the very heart of God. The millions of people that not only have gotten assistance or food or water, but better health because somebody cared and then they've come to know Christ. Third world countries are being very positively and profoundly impacted. And it's because people like you didn't just look. You reached out and touched someone with love. So what we're asking you to do is make a gift. We'll send you the little Christmas ornament. It'll become a conversation piece and it'll focus prayers on children's feet and their need. And for those of you who will make a larger gift of $100 or more, we'll send all four of these beautiful little gift shoes and Christmas ornaments. But here's what's going to happen. Think about this. $3.60 a pair for a pair of shoes. We've targeted 200,000 children that the missionaries have told us are in place with great needs, but the opportunity is there to turn a whole area around with the love of God. Would you make a gift of $36 and say, I'll give 10 of those children's shoes? A gift of $144 will give 40 children's shoes. Would you do that? You can go online, lifetoday.org, or you can just dial the number that you see right there on the screen and literally reach out and touch someone with love. Take your bank card and use it like a check. That's how you use a bank card, like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life. But would you call us and tell us what you're putting in the mail? Really important that we hear from you. And then remember this. We're giving smiles for Christmas, cleft palate surgeries. We're asking people to consider a gift of $1,000 to give two surgeries to two precious children. So we're giving shoes and smiles for Christmas, and we have to start way ahead of time so we can have the money, get the shoes, get them to the mission field in time. Thank you for making a very special moment for precious children, for changing their lives with an expression of love. Thank you for making the call or for going online and making that gift.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life Immediately Secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pair. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. With your gift of any amount, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red antique shoe ornament, a treasure to place on your tree each holiday season. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request a special boxed set of Life's Christmas shoe ornaments from past years. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
We're sending the little shoe for any gift, and I will say this to you, and this might be one of the most treasured gifts of all. We'll send you Ben Carson's book that he wrote with Candy, his lovely wife, who love you and love this country that we should all love, that our soldiers have died for, to protect not only our freedom, but the opportunity for freedom in many other nations, even where they claim to be our enemy. I hope you'll read the book. I hope you'll pray for Ben and Candy. We'll send you the book if you just help us give some children shoes to say thank you, or you can go online and get in the bookstores or get it online easily. Encourage your friends to read it. And would you pray for Ben and Candy? And would you in our studio audience say, thanks, Ben. Thanks, Candy. Thank you, Dr. Carson. Yeah.
Keeps getting us into a mess doesn't just need correction, it needs healing.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.